Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 36. Welcome back, Action, Kentucky Derby edition. It is Thursday, May 2nd. Hopefully it'll air today or tomorrow for the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, May 4th. So what you been up to, Action?
Traveling a little bit for work, doing some gambling, mostly baseball, NFL or NBA, and some hockey betting. No college basketball, though, tear my eye.
Oh, boy. I totally screwed up. I didn't do the handles. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at SideActionPod on Twitter. So to get back to our weekend.
We're a little out of practice, obviously. Nice 3 week or so break for us.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I recharged a little bit. Yep. Didn't do much research in terms of actual documentation. Obviously, researched my bets before I made them.
Yeah, but sure.
What have you been up to?
You know, I've been doing a little working out, trying to get back into shape, get the summer body going for volleyball, and kind of laying low a little bit. Maybe not drinking as much. We'll see.
That's good.
For the moment. We'll see about this weekend. We have the Derby Day and also Cinco de Mayo this weekend coming up. And, you know, other than that, just kind of gearing up for, you know, I've been doing a lot of blogging. I did a lot of blogging on the NFL draft and then, of course, the Kentucky Derby. And I'll talk a little bit about the NBA Finals in a couple weeks, as we also will probably do a segment for that as well.
Yeah, I heard that some of the fans were a bit disappointed there was no dating post last week.
Yes.
Can you explain?
Yes, there was a shout out or a call out via text. Where is the dating post last Friday instead of the recap of the NFL draft? Come on, you know my market here. There will be one tomorrow.
Okay.
A little sneak peek. I have gone on a couple, well, maybe like one date lately. I've had a lot of negative experiences, so there's plenty to talk about. But overall, you know, I'm getting back out there. I'm trying to use the spring if it ever shows up here in Chicago.
Yeah, I think this weekend hopefully will be the start of an actual springtime.
I know. I mean, it's May and it was snowing on Sunday or Saturday or whatever. So we'll get there. So yeah, all you Dating by Wegs people, look for the next one.
Okay. Well, I know that at least a few fans here in the U.S. will be looking out for that tomorrow, me included.
Exactly. So this episode, just to review, we're going to talk a little bit about legislative updates because we have a few more states moving along. And then the bulk of it will be the Kentucky Derby. We'll talk about not just the odds and everything, but how you can bet it. And then later we will talk a little sneak preview. I guess you want to talk about the Canelo fight this weekend, which is exciting. And then maybe just a recap on if we have any bets going in either the NHL or NBA. I do have some NBA futures going on.
Yeah, I think mostly will be Kentucky Derby dominated, but we can throw in a few tidbits there at the end for some of the other sports that are ongoing.
Perfect. Well, legislative updates, you've got a couple. There's four different states you're showing that have bills that are either ready for signature or have been introduced. Why don't you go over those?
Yeah, lots of action here in the first quarter of 2019. There are four additional states that seem to be really close to legalizing sports gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa was the first one that passed a bill through their house and has been sent to the governor's desk for signature.
Nice.
As well as Indiana, most recently, home state.
Yep.
Proud. And that one I read was very interesting because for a long time there was discussion about not allowing the mobile gaming in Indiana. And most recently, the version that got passed is going to allow mobile gaming, which I know that you and I talked about was a big step for New Jersey in terms of the revenues that that state has been able to generate. Some of the other states that have been legalized and don't allow the mobile gaming are lagging in some of the revenues.
Yeah, it's about time. You got to get the apps. Everybody's doing it, especially people that are already betting out there like us doing, you know, whatever, Antigua or wherever it is. You know, I'm going to use an app if it comes out in Illinois. It's just going to be easier. And they do it in Vegas, and guys can still go in and hit the sports book, but you might as well see what you can do. Maybe you're busy at work and you can still make your bets.
Yeah, and I was meeting with a friend earlier this week who asked, okay, so what's the difference going to be than what you're doing now with all you have mobile apps now? What's the difference? Well,
sure.
The major differences are that you're going to be working with U.S.-based companies,
correct,
obviously. So there's going to be a little bit more of oversight from our federal government in terms of making sure that your money is actually accounted for. Obviously, you always run the risk when you have money in these offshore accounts that it could disappear with no questions.
Well, plus Bitcoin, right? I mean, at least for the one I used, I had to convert money into Bitcoin. I think it was credit card to Bitcoin to get it in the account. Sure, it's money. It's money I could take out someday. I know you've withdrawn. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, hey, I feel a lot better if it's just going to go right back on my credit card or PayPal or whatever, which I've done on, you know, DraftKings or FanDuel when they pay you out. That's how they do it. So I'd prefer that.
The other major difference is just the competition in New Jersey. I know there's at least 10 different bookmakers now that have popped up that offer their mobile gaming sites. And all of them have different little incentives for you to bet with them. So there could be better odds. There could be more extravagant wagers that you can make, and that's just going to lead to increased value for us gamblers.
The other thing too is that, like, for example, in Vegas, I know that they don't allow certain types of bets, you know, entertainment bets and kind of the fun prop bets that we like to talk about. So each individual state's going to make their own decisions on what you're going to be able to wager on. So Illinois or wherever may have different rules that may be advantageous to you. Obviously, the offshore books do it as well, you know, like entertainment and stuff. But at the same time, maybe the price isn't as good as what you could get locally.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So you got Tennessee on there as well. It looks like they have a license. That's for casinos?
Yeah. The one interesting part about the Tennessee bill was that each individual license was going to cost $750,000 annually, which is just crazy. I think in Indiana, it's $100,000. Mm-hmm. So quite a bit drastic difference there. And this one I read was also going to be only mobile.
Oh.
So no brick and mortar stores, at least on the current version of the Tennessee bill.
Interesting. I think it was one of the other states, it was like $1 million annually. So, I mean, it's out there. That's one way that states are trying to get money quick. And then you've got Montana. There's two separate bills on the governor's desk. Do we know what the differences are?
Yeah, I didn't really get into the weeds on this one, but I did see there are two separate bills that he's mulling over in Montana.
Okay, well, that's great. I mean, that's what's interesting about it to me. It's kind of a cross-section. You've got kind of, you know, mid-southern state. You got two midwestern states, and you've got one, you know, the Great Plains, you know, northern state there. So it's not like only in one area, which you kind of saw a proliferation around New York initially, right, with Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and then Connecticut or Rhode Island was the other one. Yeah. So in this case, it's spreading around. So that's great. All right, well, let's jump into the meat of this Kentucky Derby. It's the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. If you're going to watch it on TV, it's going to be on NBC. It's 6:50 Eastern, 5:50 Central. I like to watch the race, even though it's only like 2 minutes long. There's a lot of buildup.
They say it's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
That's right. Absolutely. And it is, especially if you've got money on it. So one of the things that yesterday, it was funny, we were texting a little bit. We're trying to get, you know, Artemis Prime on the podcast, and he had sent me his picks, and I'm like, oh, you know, what happened to Omaha Beach? And then you told me that he got scratched. I'm like, what? So Omaha Beach was the heavy favorite coming in, but he's scratched yesterday, which is really opens up the field.
Yeah, total game changer for this race. Might open up for some other horses, such as Game Winner.
That's right.
But Omaha Beach was definitely the clear favorite and was certainly going to be on most of my tickets that I put in. So I kind of had to go back to the drawing board today and refigure some of my exotic bets. It sounds like he came down with a trapped epiglottis, okay, which would impact his ability to breathe while running in the Derby, which obviously wouldn't bode well for his chances. So
yeah,
hopefully
crazy.
He heals up and we can see him run again later in this calendar year.
One of the things that I heard, I've been listening to a lot of information, you know, trying to get as much information as possible. It's that the last few years, the Derby changed the way that horses qualified for the Derby. Mm-hmm. It used to be prize money, which so that way short little sprint horses could still make the field. Now it's on this point system. And so in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, the favorites have won every single year on that point system. But this year, because of, you know, Omaha Beach going down, you've got a bunch of horses kind of in that same range. So it's not a clear favorite. So that obviously will test that whole theory on the points.
Yeah, I think there's at least 3 or 4 horses that are all bunched in that like 5 to 8 to 1 range.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, let's take a look at the field and we'll go over the post numbers. Now, we will say there was a little bit of confusion with the scratching of Omaha Beach, who was the 12 horse. I kind of assumed that they would give everybody new numbers. We're kind of on the fence. We went to KentuckyDerby.com. It appears the numbers that are 13 and further out are going to keep their numbers. So if you saw them as a 13 horse originally, they still are the 13 horse. There just won't be a 12 horse. And then the new horse is number 21. That's Bot Express. We'll go over him later. So I will update that in my article if you read it on Wexpool.com, as I made that change incorrectly.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the most sense because a lot of people have probably already got their bets down. And
sure.
To go and change the numbering system now and the wagering and the paramutual system, everything will be thrown out of whack. So
right.
Everyone's going to keep the same number, but those horses physically are going to be sliding down closer to the rail.
Which, yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. That is kind of a key bit of information. So the one horse is War of Will. That's a horse actually I kind of like, but right now we're showing on Sportsbook AG as 20-1 odds. I had it this morning was 12-1, so there's some big movement on that. The two horses Tax, we're showing that as also as 20-1 on there. Number three horse is By My Standards. This is one of the Hank Goldberg specials. He likes By My Standards.
Yeah, a wise guy horse for sure, from what I've heard.
He's at 20-1 right now. Again, he's been moving around. He was 16-1 this morning. The four horse is Grey Magician, which still a long shot here at 50-1. I had him 40-1 in the morning. I don't know if you heard anything about Grey Magician.
Yeah, I mean, there's two horses that are coming from the UAE Derby,
yeah.
And we can get into this later, but these two horses I'm throwing out right away.
Yeah,
they have no chance.
Usually those guys coming in don't have any chance. So the number five horse is Improbable. That's a, what are we showing here, 6-1. This is one of the Baffert horses. Bob Baffert, the legendary trainer who's won the Derby five times. He's going for his record-tying sixth chance, and he's got three horses in the field. Then you've got the sixth horse, Vekoma.
Vekoma.
Mm-hmm. Vekoma is a 20-1 odds right now. Again, moving all over the place. Was 16-1 this morning. Maximum Security is another one, the seven horse, and this is one of those kind of favorites. There's people are liking him. He's at 10-1 right now. One of the horses I really like, trained by Bill Mott, is Tacitus, and he's showing right now at 10-1. He's been as low as 6-1, so he's kind of fluctuating. I think he's a really strong horse. The number nine horse is Plus que Parfait, a little
well
French.
Done.
Thank you, a little Francais. He's showing as 30-1. He's the nine horse in the field. Cutting Humor, 10 horses, 20. What do you got him at?
30-1.
Man, it keeps moving down. The 11 horse is Heikel.
That's how I would say it.
Uh-huh. And that's 30-1 as well. As we said, Omaha Beach was scratched. The 13 horse is Code of Honor. This is another Hank Goldberg, Hammer and Hank special. What are you showing him at?
He's 15-1.
15-1. Okay. That's good. Still good odds. Number 14 horse is Win, Win, Win. Win, Win, Win is showing up as 15-1. He's been kind of stable. We've got the 15 horse is Master Fencer. This is a Japanese horse, actually. He's at 50-1. You're probably throwing him out, too?
Yep, without a doubt.
I think he has only had one race or something like that. So
this horse just doesn't belong in this field.
They brought him in just to fill the field, huh? Number 16 horse is Game Winner. This is another one of the Baffert horses, and as such, he's 5-1 odds, which is one of the near favorites in the field. Number 17 horse is Roadster. Roadster actually has been moving all over the place. He's the 17 horse. He's 6-1 now. He was 3.5-1. We'll talk about his post position in a minute. So he's actually in the 16 post, but he's a 17 horse, which is a little bit confusing. The 18 horse is Lone Range Toddy, or Long Range Toddy, I'm sorry. And what is he sitting at now? 30-1.
Probably my favorite name out of the 20. I don't know if you have a favorite name, Wegs, but Long Range Toddy, solid name.
It's a solid name, definitely. The 19 horse is Spinoff. Spinoff is 30-1 in the 19 horse. The 20 horse is Country House. That's 30-1 that you're showing. And then the new addition, the 21 horse, is Bot Express, also 30-1. That's a lot of them. Did I miss? I missed the other Baffert horse. I guess that's Roadster. Okay, so it's Roadster is the other one. They're
Improbable, Roadster, and Game Winner, right? Or Baffert's three.
Those are the three, and those guys are all pretty close to the top of the board in terms of the odds. So let's go before we go into the, kind of how you can bet this. I kind of put a couple of trends or information that we should know about. The 17 post, and this is kind of related to Roadster. apparently it's a death sentence. They can't win out of that spot.
Right. Yeah.
So when the odds came out, Roadster was way down in terms of the odds. But now that he's moved to the 16 hole, he's actually got a much better chance, even though he's the 17 horse. I guess he still doesn't have great odds out of that spot to win, but it's certainly a better one. And I don't know if you understand why this happens. There's actually two gates at the Kentucky Derby, the first 16, and then 17, 18, 19 through 20 up on the right side. So what's happening is when they come out of those gates, the far right-hand side horses, the number 20s and such, they kind of make a right turn, and they basically cut off that first horse out of the 17 hole. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why it's been a death sentence for that that hole. So,
but at the same time, the two horses right there between the main gate and the auxiliary gate mm-hmm. actually have a little bit more space to work with, too,
true.
Because of the way that the gates connect there. It gives them a little more space right out of the jump.
They're not bumping right out. That's true. So then the other positions that are difficult to win are the rail positions, 1, 2, and 3. And so traditionally, like it's been since the one-hole horse is War of Will, I really like the horse, but the last time a one horse has won is Ferdinand in 1986. It's been a minute. So they got to get up off that rail, get in a quality position, and basically not get squeezed into the rail. And then Tax is also the number two horse. That's another one that longer odds, and it's just going to be harder to win. The other couple things I like to look at with horse racing, especially with the Kentucky Derby, is the jockeys. I mean, these guys matter. I mean, they do make a difference, you know, especially if they have experience in the Derby themselves. And the guys with the most experience that are still in the field are Luis Saiz for Maximum Security and Irid Ortiz for Improbable, at least the guys I've heard about anyway. The last thing is that it's going to be a sloppy day, most likely, although you'll have to check the forecast on Saturday. And that usually basically cuts down the speed of the race. So the guys that are super fast and can run out of the head, they don't really have that advantage on a sloppy track.
Right. And you can also look and see what horses have done well on sloppy tracks.
That's absolutely as well. Right.
Coincidentally, Omaha Beach has won twice on a sloppy track and he's thrown out now. And there are five other racers in the track who've won on a wet track. Tacitus is one of them with a single win on a wet track. Maximum Security, Spinoff, and the Japanese racer Master Fencer have won on tracks that are less than ideal.
So that's not going to sway you to get Master Fencer in your field?
No, but I'm certainly going to be waiting, and we can talk about this when we get into how you can bet, but I'm going to be waiting until Saturday afternoon to get my bets in so I can see what the weather's like. I get a chance to take a look at these horses and see if they look strong on the day before I put my bets in.
All right, this guy's going to be watching them prance out there to the gate, huh?
Appointment viewing.
Well, let's talk.
Sorry, one more I wanted to add in terms of the posts. I was doing a little bit of reading, and the last 19 races back to 1999, 7 of the winners have come out of the post 15 or higher. So it looks like that auxiliary gate that you talked about might be a little bit more of an advantage for some of these horses that are in the 15 or higher range.
Okay. As long as they are inside the, like the 17 is the first one. So I guess that's the one that just gets abused. So it must be 15, 16 are a good spot. And then the guys outside cut in. So,
right.
Well, who knows? So let's talk about how you bet this thing, Action. I mean, I've been doing some horse racing betting for a little while, but talk to me about this, you know, this another French term. Apparently a lot of French stuff this year. Pari mutuel. How does that work?
Parimutuel is the term that they use for betting and horse racing. And it's how a lot of these states have gotten around the federal ban on sports gambling over the years, because it actually means to wager amongst ourselves. And unlike other forms of betting, the odds are not fixed. Rather than placing a bet against the track or the book, for example, horse racing bettors are wagering against each other.
Right.
So every single bet that gets put into this parimutuel system gets put into one large pool, for example, and the payouts on any given wager are going to range from less than the amount wagered to astronomical amounts just based on how everyone in the pool bets. So the odds are going to change as time goes on from when the bets started taking on this race all the way up until post time and when they actually come out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. We were talking about it before the podcast that 2 years ago when I did pull the trifecta for Kentucky Derby, I put them in on a certain odds. And I mean, I don't calculate all the odds, but I'm like, okay, these are decent odds. I'm going to win some money. But basically those same horses got pounded in. And so when the race finished, I looked at what I won and I was like shocked that it was so much less than I expected. So that's kind of part of it. But at the same time, like you said, it's the opportunity to win a lot of money.
Yeah. You do also have the option to put in a futures ticket. And okay. A lot of books will offer these more stagnated odds. And actually, a lot of them open them up way, way early in the year, like September, I think, in some books, where you can bet on a whole pool of horses at a stagnated amount. Obviously, you're taking a risk there because some horses may not even make it to the Derby. So you could have a flyer on a 201 horse, but if he does not make it in the Derby, then you're shut out.
I gotcha. You also have a note about minimal commissions for all wages. So how does that work exactly?
Yeah, so the horse racing tracks and the OTBs do take a small commission from all the wagers as a fee for handling, but it doesn't collect any extra VIG, if you will, for a losing bet.
Okay, that's good. So it's just straight up. So instead of like, and that's what I was used to, you know, I had to learn about the VIG. $10 bet, it's a $10 bet.
Yep.
So, okay, well, the other type of betting, and this is kind of, you know, when you talk about the odds, we'll talk about how you can actually bet them specifically in terms of, but talk about some prop bets that you can do on the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, you can also find props at a lot of books as well, which are pretty standard to what you would see in the Super Bowl or in any other large event. You can bet on, will there be a winner wire to wire, for example. And here on BetOnline.ag, it's plus 600 for the yes and minus 1,000 for the no. Mm. And he leans there, Wiggs.
I would say a no. I think that's probably why it's heavier on that side.
Yeah, I think that it's pretty common theory in this race this year that it's going to be a little bit slower of a pace to start out, especially now that Omaha Beach isn't racing.
Right.
And I think that, like you mentioned, there's a good chance that some of these horses are going to close towards the end and catch the leaders at the end and overtake
them. Stalking horses. So then I can see one of the props you have, will Secretariat's record be broken? And I would say on a sloppy track, no. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's minus 5,000.
Yeah. I did hear earlier that another book is offering a over-under time of completion of 2:02.
Okay.
Which I thought was rather interesting. I think that's probably a good number, but if I was to bet that, I would go over on the 2:02.
Yeah, I think the last 3 years it's been over, if I'm not mistaken. So that would be that'd be a wise bet there. Action.
Oh, actually, I see it here. It's 202.65.
Oh, there you go.
And the over is shaded to minus 120, and the under is minus 110.
It's still pretty close, though. That must be really interesting number there. You could also bet it's a real future on, like, the Triple Crown winner, that there's going to actually be one this year. Now, there has been several recently. Like, there was a huge droughts for a long time, and then now there's been a couple in the last few years.
Yeah, two in the last 3 years.
Which is, you know, maybe that's a result of this point system thing we were talking about earlier, so... Okay, and then besides the prop bets, when you bet a horse race, we've talked about it a little bit in the past, maybe on the breeders or something.
Yeah.
You know, you can obviously just bet a horse to win, and that's really the odds that they're stating when it's 20 to 1. You're betting whatever, a dollar to win 20, and that's kind of how it works. But you can also bet to place, which would be second place, or to show, the third place. And in my case, I usually suggest doing across the board, which is win, place, and show all at the same time on the same horse. Now, they're really three different bets, but it kind of is a way to cover yourself in a way. And that's kind of how I do it anyway.
And correct me if I'm wrong. If you bet a horse to show and it wins the race, you win that bet, right?
Because you win the show bet. Yes, you win the show bet. If you bet, if you just bet a show bet and they win the show bet, yes, you'll win it. But it'll be a different odds than what you saw for the win bet.
Okay.
So, for example, if it's a 20-to-1 horse on a win, they might actually be much lower to show. You know, might be 5-to-1, 6-to-1. Who knows? Okay. So that's why when I usually, the way I approach my bets is the horse that I am the strongest on, in this case Tacitus, we'll talk about that later, but I will put them in a win place show bet, because if they actually win the race, you actually get both the place and the show money in addition to the win money.
Okay,
you win all three. So it doesn't work the opposite way. If you do the show, you don't get the win money, but if you do the win place show and they win, you get all three. You kind of sweep it, you win. And there's going to be different odds for each of those, but you're going to win money. That's the good news.
And you like betting across the board.
I do. If I'm really strong about a horse, I am. I think if you're kind of like betting a long shot, to be honest with you, it's not the wisest to bet a long shot to win, because, yeah, of course you're going to win the money. It's really to show. And then let's say you have a 50-to-1, your fencer, what a master fencer, whatever, the one you don't like. If you really love that horse, you really thought they're going to have a chance to hit the board, do it to show. Because even if they're 50-1, there might be to show they might be 30-1. So you just won, you know, 30-1 on your money, and that's the way to do it. I mean, at least that's what the experts say.
Or you could throw them into an exotic bet.
And that would be another way to go. So good transition. This guy has been practicing in the last 3 weeks. I want you to go over some of these exotic bets.
So the last way that you can get some serious money is through the exotics. And those are kind of like parlays, I would say, in terms of horse racing. There are several different types. The first one is an exacta, which is a bet on two horses to finish first and second in order. So you would have to pick two horses and throw them in, and they pay out only if you hit them in the exact order.
Correct.
You can also box these exotic bets, which means that you get both bets. For example, if you have an exacta, you pick two horses, they can finish in either order, but you're actually making two bets there instead of one.
So
it doubles your money that you have to pay.
Right. You basically pay, if it's a $2 exacta box, you're paying $4 basically.
So then the next level up is a trifecta, where you're picking the first three finishers in exact order again.
Correct.
And same thing here. If you're using the box and you want to pick three horses, then you're actually having to make 18 bets, which is that 3-factorial number.
That's right. So yeah, a typical situation. Yeah, it's like 6 times or whatever the bet. That's right. And then the superfecta. This is the big one. This is the life-changing money. This is if you bet $1, you'll win $10,000 or something like that. Then you're going to do 4 horses. So you're going to have to do 4 in exact order. Good luck with that. Or you box it, but then you're going to be paying out. It's basically 12 times, I think. I think that's what I figured out. You know, so
4, 3, and 2 would be 24, I think.
I'm sorry. I did 50 cents. Yes, 24. So 24 times the increment that you want to do. So those can be pretty expensive. So you want to make sure that, hey, I mean, the way I look at it is, if I'm going to do a dollar superfecta box and I win basically, you know, put in $24, I'm going to win that money if I hit it. Right. But if you're going to start putting big money, and I don't know if Artemis Prime does that kind of stuff, but I don't like to bet too much on any race. But if you're going to do it, you know, go for it in the superfecta, because that's obviously, you know, going to pay off your car or something.
Yeah. The other option you can do is get really creative and do a box with a key, is what they call it, where you might put 2 horses in the first position.
Correct.
And then 3 or 4 horses in the second position and 5 or 6 in the third position. And obviously it takes a lot more math and wizardry to figure out what those numbers are, but it essentially gives you the combination of the above horses. So you could potentially have 2 winners and then 4 horses in the pool for second place and additional for third and or fourth if you wanted to do a key on the superfecta.
Right. It's a little bit tricky if you're going to lock in the 2. So, you know, there's ways to do it, the wheel or whatever. If you lock in the 1 horse, for example, as the first one, they have to win, though.
Right.
That's the downside. If you had Omaha Beach in this case, who was the clear favorite, and I think that's what people did in the past, they lock in their favorite to the 1. It's a little bit less expensive if you only have to pay the combinations on the other 2 horses.
Right.
But obviously, if they don't come in and they finish second, you're out of the money. So that's how it works. So that's why I still prefer boxing than doing that method. But hey, I'm not an expert.
Neither am I.
Well, let's go over a couple of our resident experts' picks first. This is Artemis Prime. He gave them to me via text. I'm sure he's changing them right now. He hasn't texted me since then. So you're locked in, Prime. So Prime has, just to give a little background, he's got a lot of experience in betting horses. I know a few years ago he was at the Breeders and hit a pretty big number at the Breeders, so I trust him. I like to get all of his picks. We actually watched the Preakness a couple years ago together. So he likes Game Winner. So Game Winner is one of the Baffert horses, right? So that's the 16 horse. And then he also likes Tacitus, and that's the horse I like too. We'll talk about that in a minute. But so Tacitus is the 8 horse. And so he likes one of those 2 to win. He did mention a little bit earlier today, he sent this to me last night, earlier today, he's liking Game Winner more and more. And I think that he won the juvenile stakes at Churchill Downs. So that's obviously a nice indication of how he can do. And he's run this distance before at the Santa Anita. So obviously, he's a solid horse. Tacitus has won a couple of big races. And I mean, the guys I look at, Demling and Goldberg, they both really like Tacitus to win the race. So I think Prime's right on board there. His top 4 horses that he listed last night, this is Optimus Prime or Artemis Prime. He's got Game Winner, Tacitus, maximum security, tax, and spinoff. So tax being the 2-horse, spinoff would be the 19-horse, and maximum security is the 7-horse. So I don't know. Do you have any ideas on those guys?
You know, I'm not too keen on tax. Like we had talked about earlier, he's near the rail coming out of that second position. So I have thrown him out, and he got beat in the Wood Memorial by Tacitus.
He did.
So I'm not going to be using tax in any of my exotics. But the others, Game Winner, I'm on. Tacitus, I like. Maximum Security, I have heard, is another popular horse that's being used across the board. I'm also not going to be using him in any of mine.
Yeah. He also said that, Artemis said that By My Standards and Win, Win, Win are two horses that people are talking up. And I have heard that too with By My Standards. So he may swap one of those horses out for tax. So as you mentioned, just because of that issue with the rail, I'm sure. So, well, let's transition to our picks. I mean, you know, not that we're experts, but we both, you know, I like Tacitus. That's my horse. I'm going to bet him across the board, as I've said before. He's the 8-horse, and I feel pretty strong about that. Hopefully, you know, he'll at least return my investment. And then I like my trifecta box. I do two of them, as I was talking about before the pod. I do one where I kind of pick basically horses that are more or less favored, and then the second one I'll pick the two I really like of them with more of a long shot. And so my first trifecta box is Tacitus with Game Winner. Well, sounds like a repeat, 8 and 16. And then I like Improbable, Improbable the 5-horse, and that's another Baffert horse, shocker. But at the same time, he's got that, you know, I Read Ortiz, who's a really good jockey. He's been really good, and his odds are showing it. So that's kind of the favorite trifecta box. And then the other one would be Tacitus, Game Winner, and then I like War of Will. War of Will's on the rail, so we know that he probably won't win the race. But he's a really good horse, and he had an injury that held him up in Louisiana Derby. I understand he's doing better now, and a guy like Demling, you know, from Sportsline really likes him, at least in the potential to be the top four, and I like that odds. And I think we had him at, what is it, like 30 to, or 20 to 1 now. So if I can hit that trifecta, then I win some money. We can go into some of yours before we go into the rest of mine, I guess.
Oh, no, continue. You're doing great.
Superfecta box, I'm just going to basically follow up all of those horses. Tacitus, Game Winner, Improbable, and War of Will. So I've got all those four horses in the superfecta box. The way I do it, though, as I mentioned, I go really cheap. You know, the place I do it, Derby Bets, lets me do like a 50-cent superfecta box. So that's why I did the 12 bucks. Whereas like the favorite trifecta box will probably be more like a $5 bet. So that'll be a, you know, 30 bucks. And then the more long shot will be a $3 bet, like an $18 bet. So the last thing I like to do personally is I like to take one long shot. And I say long shot because somebody with a little bit longer odds. But this year I don't love any of the horses that are really far out. Yeah. But By My Standards, I'm going to stick with Hank Goldberg's guy, the 3-horse. And I think he's up to like 20 to 1. So it's kind of fits. I usually go 20 to 1 and greater. I had him at 16 to 1 in the morning. I'd still be comfortable with that. I usually do like 10 bucks on that. And if he hits it, then great. I'm not doing a show bet. Like I said, the experts do. But I'm, you know, I want to make it a little fun for myself. So what about you, Action? What are you thinking?
I like all those picks. I am with you on Tacitus. Mm-hmm. I also am going to be betting him to win. I also am going to put a small bet in on Improbable. Mm-hmm. I was reading that a lot of people, when he started racing as a 2-year-old, had labeled him as Baby Justify.
Yeah, not bad.
Because he ran a lot like him, and obviously Justify was the Triple Crown winner last year.
That's right.
So I do like Improbable a little bit. I'm going to put in an exacta with a box here on the 8-horse, Tacitus, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Number 17, which is Roadster, another one of my favorites here. Not betting him to win the race, but I do think that Roadster is going to be up there. And then also Baby Justify, or Improbable, the 5-horse. So 8, 17, and 5 on a trifecta box. I'm sorry, exacta box.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 6 bets there.
Right, 3-horse exacta box. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then I am going to put in kind of a crazy trifecta here with some keys. So bear with me here. I got 17 and the 6, Roadster and Game Winner in the first spot. Okay. I really like Roadster because I was reading that he did fall off a little bit in the latter part of last year, but mm-hmm. that was because he was having a breathing problem himself.
Okay.
And he went through surgery, and now a lot of the pundits are thinking that Roadster is maybe fully healthy and ready to rock and roll in mm-hmm. this race.
When he's out of the 17 hole now, even though he's 17 horse, he's actually the 16 hole, so he's mm-hmm. got yeah. out of that death spot.
Yeah, we mentioned earlier how I was worried about him initially because he was in 17, and now that he's moved, mm-hmm. it's going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
I also like a lot of these horses because of their closing speed. Okay. We mentioned earlier that it looks like it's going to be a little bit of a slower pace, and I'm throwing in some horses here into my trifecta, especially that I think are going to be able to close. And Tacitus actually is one of them as well, which mm-hmm. has some very good closing speed. But Roadster, Tacitus, and then a third horse that I've thrown in the trifecta here is Win Win Win,
yep.
the 14 horse. Mm-hmm. So back to my trifecta, I've got Roadster and Game Winner at the top.
Right.
Then five horses in the middle spot, 17, 16, 14, which is Win Win Win,
mm-hmm.
Tacitus and Improbable. And then those same five horses in the third spot, 17, 16, 14, 8, and 5. So it comes out to 54 bets.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to win.
Well, I mean, you're covering a lot of bases there, which is good. It's different than mine because mine is, it has to be those four horses. You have extra horses in. That's mm-hmm. I mean, you pay for it, but I think that's a good way to go. And it looks like we're actually pretty close, which is interesting. Besides Roadster, I ended up fading him and then Win, Win, Win. So, like, you have that Win, Win, Win guy who, you know, he's like, 20 to 30 to 1. That's your kind of equivalent of what my War of Will. So you're taking a shot, and I think that that's what you have to do. Typically speaking, even if the, you know, the favorite wins the race or the favorites come in, those guys that place in show, you know, they can come out of nowhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and if one of these longer shot horses somehow sneaks into the top three, it instantly screws your bet and you lost it all. So
it's always what kills you. But
like you mentioned earlier, with this new point system, the favorites have tended to do a lot better in this race. So mm-hmm. I think that if you're looking at handicapping this, you could go pretty well if you stick to most of the favorites here with the exotics.
That's right. And you're going to see, as Action mentioned, he's going to wait. I will probably wait as well till at least, you know, Saturday afternoon. You're going to see a lot of odds changes. So that may influence, you know, how you do your boxes a little bit. Just because, not to say that they know what they're doing, but at the same time, to give yourself the chance at the upside, you may change how things work. And you're going to hear different news. Omaha Beach just got scratched yesterday. So things come up. I heard somebody has an abscess on their hoof. You know, you got to listen to what's going on out there.
Yeah, no doubt about that. There could be another scratch between now and post time.
Absolutely. All right, well, that wraps up Kentucky Derby action. That was exciting. We got fight night. Fight night Saturday night. You got a Canelo fight on the books here, don't you, Action?
Yeah, that first Saturday in May is one of my favorites because you have the Derby, and then most notably every year there's a huge title fight in
mm-hmm.
Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So this year it's Canelo Alvarez versus Daniel Jacobs. And as you may know, that Canelo is the pretty heavy favorite in this one.
Yep.
Right now, minus 450 on the betting board, and Daniel Jacobs is a 350 underdog.
Okay.
So the most recent common opponent that these guys have is Triple G.
Yep.
And if you remember back in the fall, Triple G got kind of screwed in his last fight in that decision against Canelo.
He did.
And Canelo did beat him, according to the judges. And then additionally, Jacobs fought Triple G a few months back. He lost to Triple G back in March 2017.
Okay.
So I'm probably going to be looking to bet Canelo in this one, but mm-hmm. I'm going to wait it out until closer to the fight because I think in a lot of these big fights, the underdog usually takes a lot of money.
Yes.
And I'm expecting that Canelo may come down a little bit and I can get him closer to like 350 or so.
Yeah, you want to get the best value you can. And Canelo, I mean, what they always say is the in boxing, you know, the kind of novice bettor always goes with the underdog. They want to see the big, you know, Mike Tyson type getting knocked down. But it really, the value's in the favorites, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just getting the best number for you. Do you ever do any other props, like in terms of rounds or anything like that?
If I see somebody post one out there that I follow, I might jump on it. But I certainly don't try to handicap for that kind of stuff on my own.
Cool. All right. Well, that wraps up fight night. We've got any talk about NHL?
just wanted to mention that the first round of the playoffs, the first period unders, were pretty hot. Mm-hmm. I was able to nail a couple of those. And then you and I talked about how many underdogs were coming in on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
It seems like that underdog team was winning 80% of the games.
They did.
So the tide has turned a little bit here in the second round. I've actually seen the first period unders cool off quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit more scoring, especially out of that Stars and Blues series, mm-hmm. which was shocking to me because both of those teams are such defensive-oriented teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you're seeing a lot of goal scoring in that Avalanche and Sharks series as well.
I know that the one that the guys have been talking about on VSiN is the third period total, because mm-hmm. that seems to always hit over now, because, you know, in these playoff games, it's just, you know, everything's on the line and they're pushing it to try to score late, plus those empty net goals that come into play. So that's one thing. And then I also think the Sharks, they're basically an over machine too.
Yeah,
that's what
they
heard.
Have been. Yep.
So,
I've also been riding Carolina quite a bit. I mean, they jumped out to a 2-0 lead against the Islanders, and then I think they even made it 3-0.
Yeah, they did. They won last night 3-0. They're dusting them. It's kind of too bad. You know, the Islanders had an interesting situation. If you heard this, the Islanders were, you know, the home team in the first two games, but they couldn't play in their home arena.
Oh,
they actually, it was some sort of agreement that they lost. They only had the first round of this, or whatever, they only had the first round covered for their arena,
so
they had to go to a different arena. It really isn't a home ice advantage like normal, so them losing the first two wasn't that big of a surprise, which is kind of crazy.
That's right, they were playing in Brooklyn. I didn't catch that.
Weird. So I mean, what are you gonna do? Well, anyway, about the NBA, I mean, I can talk about my NBA. I made some bets in the NHL, but then lost a couple, kind of backed off. The NBA, I've been looking more at the series futures, I guess you would say. And so I went all in on Boston, man, against the Bucks, and I got it at plus 235 at the time, which was before the season before the series started, and they won game one, so I was feeling great. It's come down to, I guess it's plus 170 now, but it was actually down to like plus 115 or something after that first win.
After game one.
And you said you got in on the Bucks on the other side, right?
Yeah, after the Bucks lost game one, I jumped in on Milwaukee at a minus 125 deflated price and was feeling pretty good about that. I still think they're the more talented team.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Stevens is obviously a master, though, and I expect this series may go seven games, but Milwaukee will have that home court advantage in game seven.
Yeah, I really liked... The angle I had is that I like Stevens a lot. I think he's just a great coach, and he's a really good playoff coach. Now, granted, they got dusted in game two, especially in that third quarter. But the Bucks had to shoot the ball lights out, you know, to make that happen. And it's going to be tough to do against a, you know, playoff caliber Celtics defense. That's kind of why I took them.
Yeah. The other series that I was all over was Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-series, I took them about minus 235.
Okay.
And then after they lost game two, I saw the odds drop down to minus 195 and reloaded a little bit more on Toronto the other night.
Yeah, I like Toronto too. I mean, I did my write-up in the Wegs pool about the playoffs, and I actually have Toronto in the NBA Finals. I know it's kind of weird to say, but
I can see it.
I do think that in the end, if they can pull it together against the Sixers, they have enough juice to get by the Celtics, mainly because of Kawhi Leonard, and he's been playing great.
And if they happen to lose tonight in game three, I'll probably add more to Toronto again, because I just don't see how they're going to lose to Philadelphia over seven games.
I don't either, although they say something like if the loser of a 1-1 series in game three, you know, they dropped like a 22% win percentage or something. But so then you probably get really good value on Toronto at that
point.
Might
get some plus money on that.
The other series I did bet on is the Trailblazers Nuggets, and I got the Trailblazers at plus 125 before the series started, and they obviously lost game one. They won last night. They held the Nuggets to 90 points, which was kind of nuts. The Nuggets are really good at home, and that's kind of great to get that game on at that point. It looks like the series is actually flipped over. It's the Blazers are minus 150 now, so feeling pretty good about that right now.
Wild that the odds makers are disrespecting Denver so much to flip them as a plus 130 underdog now, only down one game.
You know, the Nuggets are actually really good, but they're young. I mean, Nurkic is really good.
Jokic.
He's really good. He's had triple doubles in several games, but I just wonder, when push comes to shove, who's going to hit that big shot for them? Is it going to be Jamal Murray, who really struggled in the first series against the Spurs? He got hot in one and then dropped off in another. And then Dame Lillard, obviously, McCollum's really good. So they've got the guys. For me, the Blazers can hit the big shots in a tight game.
Mm-hmm. And the under last night just murdered. I mean, this obviously is a series that I thought would be pretty high scoring, but that game seemed to be a little bit of an aberration.
Yeah, there was a couple injuries. I think there were three injuries in the game. Harkness got hurt. Murray got hurt. There were a couple guys, so I think that was contributed to it. Mm-hmm. The last series, you know, was funny. I was on the edge, you know, our good fan, Melissa, really loves the Rockets, and we kind of, she read my article about the about the NBA, and she was like, how can you pick the Warriors to win it all? Well, you know, the reason is obviously they have great players, but I just don't trust James Harden in the playoffs. He just gets run down in the series. I was very close because it was like plus 250 or plus 260 before the series started for the Rockets. I was looking at plus money. I'm like, maybe this will happen. I'm so glad I held off because the Warriors are just, they're outclassing them right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually jumped in on the Rockets mm-hmm. after the game one loss at mm-hmm. 345, I believe. And I'm kicking myself because that was, you know, I really thought they were going to win last night.
Yeah.
And Harden got poked in the eye.
He did.
That didn't help at all. And they just looked demoralized after that game two loss. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like the odds makers agree. They've made the Warriors a minus 650 favorite, and the Rockets are plus 500 now.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing for their playoff lives, you know, the next game on Saturday. They do get the time off so Harden can heal and everything, but he's been off. He's been off, mm-hmm. and he's not playing as good. Chris Paul is complaining to the refs all the time. You know, look, they got to focus on winning, and they really have to try to figure out a way to slow down Kevin Durant. This dude is lighting it up right now.
Yeah, and the rest, actually, I think is going to help Golden State mm-hmm. because Durant has been run ragged. Steph Curry hasn't really been helping much.
Right.
So I actually think that Golden State comes back and wins game three, and Houston might be lucky to win that fourth game and get one out of this series.
Wow, look at this guy. Might be looking at the money line bet because you'd figure the Rockets will be favored in that game, right?
Well, let's check here.
Let's check.
Houston Rockets -3.5. Oh, you're right.
You could go plus 145 on that Golden State.
I might do it.
Check it out. All right. Well, that kind of wraps up our episode. It was great to get back on the mic. This is exciting. It feels like it's been a year. It's only been a couple of weeks. But
I did want to throw in one baseball.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry.
Curveball from left field. Fading Chris Sale and the Boston Red Sox has been incredibly profitable for me over the first couple of weeks.
I bet it has.
I think he's 0-6 in his start. The Red Sox are 0-6.
Yeah.
And he goes off at like a minus 200 favorite every single night. You can come back on the other side and get good plus prices, 170s, 180s, 190s. In fact, I already bet your White Sox tomorrow night, plus 190
Woohoo!
Against Chris Sale. And I'm just going to keep riding this until he turns it around.
I got a question for you. When you do that, that's just the money line for the game?
Yep.
So it doesn't matter if he gets the decision or anything like that?
No. Okay. Usually when you make a baseball bet, you can select your pitchers or I forget the term, lock in your pitchers.
Okay.
So that if there is a scratch prior to the first pitch, your bet becomes voided.
Okay.
So I would always recommend listing your pitchers because usually when you're handicapping baseball, it's based on that starting pitcher.
Totally based on pitching, yeah, for sure. All right.
So, but he definitely doesn't have to finish the game to answer your question.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's just a money line bet. It's mm-hmm. just he has to start the game. Okay.
Yep.
Great. Well, that kind of wraps up the episode. Hopefully you got some good information about the Kentucky Derby and you can watch with bated breath in those 2 minutes and hold your breath for 2 minutes and see if you can live. But yeah, it was a great time. Hopefully we'll get to catch an action. I will be out there somewhere watching the race and cashing tickets. That's what we want to do.
Yeah. We may pick a bar, hopefully an indoor-outdoor place because it's supposed to be sunny here on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll tweet it out to you guys. If you want to come join us and watch the Derby with us on Saturday, we'd be happy to welcome more followers.
Absolutely. So just follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts. We'll see you in probably 3-4 weeks, undecided point in time, probably right before the NBA Finals, and we can talk a little bit about wagering on the Warriors, because Wegs thinks they're going to win.
I think they're going to win, but you can maybe a lot of props that we could do in the NBA Finals.
So date TBD, but we'll certainly put that out there on the internets, and y'all can be looking out for that one.
All right, check it out.
Later. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action.
Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.